When we think about fatherhood, we're thinking about probably the greatest role that a man can take on outside of his relationship with God and outside of his relationship with his wife. It's one of the major things that he's going to accomplish if he chooses to have children. We look at the times we're living in, and I suppose fatherhood is taken less seriously than perhaps ever before. It's interesting that just in the last couple of weeks, statistics have come out showing us just how little avail fathers are having in the United States as far as taking their job seriously. One statistic says that 8.6 million American households are now led by single mothers. You consider that, and it's no surprise to us when we start watching other problems occurring. We're seeing poverty rates rising. We're seeing other things that are detrimental rising, and that's because when we look at the home, there is a very key part of that household missing. Now, I understand that's not always the father's fault. However, many times it is. And so as we look at this, what we're seeing is a land in which men, 8 out of 10, I believe now, say they want to be fathers, but yet men who are having children, but yet refusing to take on that role of being a father. We can't solve America's problems this morning. But what we can do is admonish and encourage those of us who are here in this congregation or visiting with us today and are fathers to take their jobs seriously. To understand that the responsibility in leading a household falls on the man. And we want to see that from the standpoint of the Word of God. And I suppose the passage that tells us the very most about that is Ephesians 6:4, at least the one that we come to the most often, in which the Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline or the nurture and instruction of the Lord." Keep that passage in mind as we go through our lesson today. The latter part of it especially, in the idea of bringing a child up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Might be of some point of interest this morning that the passage we're going to use as kind of the outline of our study was written by a man who, as far as we know, never had any children physically. He never had any of his own, but yet what we find is that there were many people who he looked upon as children and who looked upon him in a sense as their father in the faith. The passage that was read this morning is the one that I'd like for us to follow this morning. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, as the apostle is writing to the people at Corinth, we see in verse 14, where he says, "I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as what? As my beloved children." So as Paul talks to these children in the faith, he gives many good lessons in that regard. But I also believe we see lessons that we can understand as physical fathers. Principles that the apostle uses here that show us how to bring up our children in the faith, in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. Let's begin our study this morning by talking about really where it all begins. You notice here in chapter 4, and I would encourage you just put your marker there. We'll be coming back and forth to that passage quite a bit this morning. As you look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 14, he says, "I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children." Paul looked upon these Christians as being people who he has brought to Christ. In a sense, he's given them the message that has brought them into the relationship with Christ. And as he talks to them, he says that you not only are my children in the faith, he says here as well, you are my beloved children. In fact, something akin to 5 times within the 2 epistles to the Corinthians, he's going to refer to them as his beloved. Now you start reading some of the problems that they had, some of the difficulties, no doubt some of the sleepless nights they created for Paul, and it may be a little surprising that he has such a relationship with them. But I think we see that as a man who very much wants to bring the very best to these people, who wants to bring up these children in the faith, so to speak, in the very best way possible. And that should characterize a father's love for his children. It's not always going to be rosy. It's not always going to be good times. But that love needs to be constant as Paul's love for the Corinthians was constant. We think about their relationship and we understand that it was a willful love. And I mean by that, it was not an overly emotional kind of love. And as I say that, I want to understand that there is a place for emotional love. There is a place for telling your children you love them. There's a place for showing that very openly and affectionately. But when we look at the concept of love that's going to bring a child to be the kind of adult that he or she needs to be, it's a love that is looking out for the best interest of that child. It's showing love rather than just simply speaking about that love. And as we note the apostle's words here, that's what he's doing and illustrating that everything in fatherhood rests on this foundation of that willful love that's going to say, I am going to do what it takes to bring my children up to be the kind of children, the kind of adults that one day they need to be. All right, let's let that be our foundation. The idea of that belovedness that Paul had for the Corinthians, fathers have that for their children. And upon that foundational love, that's where a father begins his work of teaching holiness. Now this year, we've been looking at having as our theme the idea of taking time to be holy. Certainly, as it comes to that relationship between father and child, the holiness that we've been talking about this year certainly needs to be taught to children. In fact, we'll look at some passages dealing with that. But look here in verse 17 in particular. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17, he says, "That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as to teach them everywhere in every church." He said one of his works was to teach them how to be Christ-like, how to be holy. I think one of the interesting things that we find in the Bible is that many of the best men that we read about were pretty much failures when it came to their children. You look at men like David, you read about his children, and you see how that so many of them turned out the wrong way. A little bit earlier than him, Samuel, his children were corrupt. The people did not want them judging over them. We think about Hezekiah, one of the most righteous men, had one of the most unrighteous sons, though he did later return in his old age to do what was right. We think about Josiah, who was the best king, at least in the divided kingdom period, and his sons were rotten. I don't know their stories. I don't know their situations. They may have tried very hard. But what it appears is that these very holy, godly men probably did not take time to teach their children about holiness. And that's what a father must do. Teaching holiness is one of the primary duties that a father is given. He may be very good at teaching his children sports. He may be very good at teaching them about business dealings, managing their money. But what he better do, the best of all, is to teach them how to be godly young people. That idea comes up very early on. Again, keep your place here in 1 Corinthians. And let's look over to the book of Proverbs. The first few chapters of Proverbs are written in the style of a father speaking to his children, speaking to his sons. And so it's no real surprise to us when we come to chapter 4 that that kind of language is going to be continued. The first 9 verses are showing us a great deal about the relationship that fathers need to have with their children. Let's go ahead and go down to verse 3. Pick up with me in verse 3. He says, "When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her,'" talking about wisdom, "'and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you.'" And he continues on with those ideas. He says, "What my father did for me was to set the foundation of being wise, of being godly."
Maybe you had a father like that. And I'm sure if you did, on this day, he has been in your mind. As you think about a man who gave you the very best thing he could give. And that's what the writer is saying here was done for him and what he desired to do for his children. It is the very best thing that a father can do. It is the greatest gift that a father can give to his children. I am not promising that your children are going to appreciate that when they're young. I'm not promising that they're going to say, "Oh, Father, how wise you are. We're so thankful to have you." Maybe just the opposite. They may buck a little bit against that wisdom. But in days to come, more times than not, they're going to thank you for it. They're going to see in you someone who is stabilizing and preparing them to be a godly Christian. And what better thing could you do? We think about what the Lord said through Malachi. The men in Malachi's day were divorcing their wives. They were tearing their families apart. Notice what he says. He says, "Did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union?" And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. He was saying, "I wanted you to bring up a generation of God-fearers. Your ancestors had missed the boat. Your fathers had done wickedly. I expected better of you," is what he's saying here. And we think about what Joshua said. In days when perhaps they could have gone the wrong way, Joshua stood up very strongly and with boldness, and he said, "And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's strength. That's a father who's saying, everybody else may go a different way, but the Lord is going to be honored where I am. And what a tremendous example he sets. So where does all of this begin? Well, all of this begins when a father commits himself to being dedicated to holiness. That's where his work is going to commence. And so we think about that going back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Look with me at verse 15. When the apostle said, "For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for I became your father," how? "In Christ Jesus," through the gospel. He says, "When I talk to you, I am not talking out of my own thoughts. I'm not saying what I believe is correct. I am showing you what I have learned in Jesus Christ." And that's exactly what fathers, in the sense that we're discussing this morning, must do as well. Paul understood the kind of foundation on which they needed to rest. If you back up just a chapter or so to verse 11, chapter 3, verse 11, he says, "For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now, with that kind of foundation, what the man learns, he passes on. What he dedicates himself to in holiness, he passes along to his children. We're not going to take time to read these two passages today, but I just want to make mention of them. Deuteronomy 11. The men were told concerning the law, "Speak of it when you lay down, when you rise up, when you're walking along in the way." In other words, he was saying, it doesn't always have to be a dedicated sit down over a table with the law open in front of you kind of situation. When the time arises, speak. Tell them what the law says. Interestingly as well, Psalm 78 gives that a little bit more from a negative perspective, but still the idea that a father's responsibility is making sure that the gospel message, or in their case, the law, was being discussed with their children. So, what we're seeing is a father's job then is to instill that love for God. And that's going to be done when he can instill a love for the Bible in his kids. He needs to make sure they're prepared for Sunday morning and Wednesday night. He needs to make sure that they have opportunity to hear the Word of God taught. He needs to make sure that they are coming to worship on a very regular basis. He needs to make sure that as other opportunities arise where they can be taught, that's going on. Whatever it takes, He needs to make sure that his children are being very well grounded in the truth. And so, he begins by teaching. But even more than that, the way that he's going to teach his children the most is by the example that he sets for them. The apostle talks about that. Chapter 4, verse 18. He says, some were arrogant as though I were not coming to you. Actually, 16 rather. He says, I urge you then, be imitators of me. Now, are you brave enough to say that? Someone is looking to do right and you say, well, just follow my example. Do what I do. The apostle was not speaking that in arrogance. He was not saying, put me up on a pedestal. What he was saying was, when you look at me, when you look at my actions, you can then see how Christ would have you to live. Every father needs to try to do that. There will be times when we fail. But yet that should be the kind of example we're setting where when our children look at us, they can see the kind of reaction that Christ would have in that reaction. And I'm going to tell you, children can very quickly distinguish the difference between saying something and doing something. A situation I knew of a while back. There's a man who had grown up with faithful parents, but yet this young man had chosen to go the wrong way. Got married, actually married a girl who was in a denomination. But yet he said, now when we get married, you are going to take my children to a Church of Christ. Every time you're going to take them. You know what's odd about that situation? He wouldn't go. He wouldn't go with them. He required his wife to take them. I don't know how those children will turn out. I don't know how they'll be when they're out on their own. But I can guarantee you they have distinguished a difference there. They are seeing the difference between what he says and what he does. And so fathers, while we will mess up, while we will make mistakes, there's no doubt about that. Overall, what our children should be able to see in us is someone not only teaching holiness, not someone who only believes holiness, but someone who is practicing holiness. And if we do that, those children are going to have a very good example to follow. The Apostle Paul says over in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, to imitate him once again, as he imitates Christ. For our purposes this morning, we want to understand that a father should do the same thing. Let me mention one other thing before we kind of change gears here. As a father is teaching his children, there needs to be a good deal of consistency in that. And the Apostle Paul recognized that as we look in verse 17. He says, that is why I sent to you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in every church. A few weeks ago, we looked at a man whose teaching said, well, when you look at the New Testament, the apostle taught one thing to this group and one thing to that group, and he treated this church differently than that. That is just complete nonsense. Here the apostle says, everything I taught in every church. Why? Because the message was the same. A father needs to realize that with his children as well. All children are different. I don't care if you have identical twins. They're not identical. All of us have our differences. We have our personalities. We have our quirks. But yet the message of holiness does not change. And so when we're dealing with our children, we may have to deal with them in special ways because of their personality, but the consistency of holiness remains the same. Favoritism is going to lead to disaster. I imagine we could ask maybe Isaac something about that, and Rebecca something about that, and Jacob something about that, and the 12 sons of Jacob. Every time when we're dealing with our children, we do not want to have higher and lower expectations for them concerning their relationship with God. It is up to a father to establish high but yet achievable standards for all of his children to meet. That's what the Lord desires. And when a father is doing that, he's going to show his children that everyone is expected to maintain holiness and to be the kind of people God desires. Well, for the final part of our lesson this morning, let me talk about a second kind of foundational love that a father needs to show. And that's the idea of discipline. When we think about godly discipline, we don't have to go far to recognize that this is something that the Lord is pretty much putting the Father in charge of. The Apostle Paul recognized that with his Corinthian children. He recognized that with his Ephesian children. We remember Ephesians 6:4, bring them up in the discipline of the Lord. We think about as well where he talks about the Corinthians, what they must do as well. If you look to verse 14, he says, I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. When we talk about discipline, it is more than just correction. When we hear the word discipline, maybe we think about being taken behind the woodshed, and that's part of it. But it's not all of it. When we think about discipline, what it is it's training someone to go in a particular direction. Some of you gardeners, you're probably disciplining your plants right now, aren't you? That vine might want to spread all over your garden, but what have you done? You put the pole up, you've wrapped it, you've disciplined it, you've sent it in the direction that you desire for it to go. That's what fathers do with their children. The idea of sending them in the direction that they should go. And a whole lot of this is going to be the concept of admonition. Let's just think about what it means to admonish. Defined, it says to express warning or disapproval in a gentle, earnest, or solicitous manner. To give friendly, earnest advice or encouragement. When we think about discipline, one of the things that fathers need to do is to make sure that they are admonishing their children. It's the idea of what fathers should be doing every day. You're giving advice. Most of the time, in a gentle way. I don't know that I would do that if I were you. That's admonition. You need to think about this before you do it. That's admonition. And interestingly, the ESV in verse 14 uses that with Paul where he says, but to admonish you, my beloved children. So in this idea that we find here of admonition, this is where a father is going to do very much of his teaching. This is where he is going to train his children probably more than any other. These are the occasions where a father takes the occasion to teach his children how to deal with other people. Child comes home from school. He's been into it with someone. Child's having a problem with the teacher. Child's having a problem with the neighbor. Child's having a problem with his friend. Oh, that's a golden opportunity to admonish. A father says, the first thing you do is make sure your attitude is right. Anybody ever heard that before? Father says, you've got to make sure that you're doing things the right way. What he's doing is admonishing. He's teaching his children how to deal with problems that come up in their lives. It may be that he's teaching them economics. It may be that he's teaching them how to behave in a certain way. That's what a father does. He's teaching his children about how to deal with the opposite sex. You think about a father with his son. A father has got to teach his son to respect the opposite sex. I've always applauded the parents of the ABS boys soccer team. It's always so amusing when our boys play a team that's co-ed and you've got girls on the field. Because our boys are kind of standing back from them. They don't want to get too close. Sometimes girls use that to their advantage, by the way. But yet the boys have learned. Their parents have said, you need to behave properly when you're around a young woman. Fathers, let me tell you as well, there is much that you need to be teaching your daughters also. I think a lesson on modesty from a father is going to go much further than a lesson from a mother ever will. Not to discount mothers in this. You had your day back in May. We talked about what mothers need to do. That's good. But a father knows how the male mind works. He understands how very much a man is attracted physically to a woman. He understands how a man's eyes are going to go very quickly to a part of a woman's body that ought not to be showing. And he needs to explain that to his daughter. And she may put up a little bit of a fuss. And she may say, you're out of date and you're old-fashioned. But I think eventually a girl is going to understand that if a father is approaching this in holiness and is teaching his daughter, this is why God has said to be modest. This is why He said you need to be covered. It's because He doesn't want you, first of all, being the object of impure thoughts in the mind of someone else, and He doesn't want you presenting a stumbling block for a young man or even an older man who may allow himself to have those bad thoughts. A father can explain that. And so here is a man who is admonishing his children. We're not talking about physical discipline. We're not talking about correcting something that's wrong, but rather gently training them in the way that they should go. And when a father admonishes in that way, it can prevent what comes next many times. Because I believe a father then as well is going to be very much in charge of disciplining when the wrong action comes. Part of this discipline is taking action because of wrong. And the father is the one who's to be doing that. Again, let's look at Paul's example. Verse 18, some are arrogant, as though I were not coming to you. Now, tie that in with verse 21. When he says, what do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love in the spirit of gentleness? You ever read Paul's writings? Did he sometimes have to come with the rod? Yes. He had to do that with the Corinthians, didn't he? They were arrogant in how they were dealing with one another. They were jealous of one another. They were letting wickedness go in their congregation. All kinds of things. And sometimes he had to take a very strong stand against that. Just as fathers will. And so a father needs to understand his role in that regard. We think about what Solomon said in Proverbs concerning parenting duties. Whoever spares the rod hates his son. But he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Discipline your son, for there is hope. Do not set your heart on putting him to death. No matter what our society says, the Lord has said there is a place for physical discipline. I think the younger the child is, the more effective that's going to be. And a father's always got to remember that when he does this, it's for the betterment of the child. What does Solomon say? My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom He loves as a father the son in whom He delights. He says that if you love your child, you will discipline. Discipline is never to make a father feel better. It's never to release pressure. It's never to relieve stress. It is to teach a child who will not listen to admonition that when you go against the proper way, that's going to bring difficulty. And so those lessons taught very early on may very well teach a child to stay in the right direction. Some kids are easier than others. There are some kids who just a good stern warning, talking to, is going to be effective. Others are going to test and try. But a father, in loving his children, in that foundation of love and teaching godly discipline, is going to do what's best for the child. Let me just mention this with the idea of discipline. Every child has free will. Every child is going to grow up to an adult that can do whatever he or she desires to do. And there are going to be occasions when a father may have to realize that his child has chosen the wrong way. The foundation may have been laid. The father may have taught holiness. He may have been the example of holiness. But yet the child is choosing to go the wrong way. In those situations, you can't chase after a grown child. Someone grows up, they say, I know what you taught. I don't want it. There's not a lot you can do to it for an adult child in that regard. I think there are parents who try, but it fails. A father's also got to realize that you can't force someone to build on a good foundation. Fathers do everything they can. They lay the foundation as strongly as they can. But really, it's up to all of us when we grow up to desire to be and decide to be the kind of people that we want. But I will say this. Like that father in the parable of the prodigal son, you never give up. You never stop praying for your child. You never stop encouraging when the time might be. You never stop trying to do the right thing. Because we think about God, and a lot of His children are in that same boat, aren't they? They've chosen to go the wrong way. So we keep the prayers going to Him that perhaps one day those doors will be open. Being a father is an important job. Don't ever take it any less than the seriousness with which God presents it. And for those who are fathers and for those one day who will be fathers, I simply leave you with this. The very best example of parenting that we have is our Father in heaven. He shows us how to do it. He shows us how to deal with every situation that comes along. And if we'll study what He does, we too can be the kind of fathers that our children need. As we close this morning, let me just say this. This Father in heaven has offered His children blessings absolutely beyond imagination. In our class this morning, we talked about heaven. And Lord willing, this evening, we're going to come back and talk about heaven some more. Our Father in heaven has said to His children, I will give you everything that you need to be saved. The question now is, will we accept that Father's love? Will we accept the gracious offer that He's given to us? This morning, if you're ready, if you're not a Christian, you know what to do. It's time to be baptized. Have your sins washed away, raised up, ready to walk with the Lord. If you've deserted your Father, He'll welcome you back. Because like the Father and that prodigal son, He's not given up. He's not quit looking for you. And will welcome you back with open arms. This morning, if you need to respond to His invitation in any way, won't you come while we stand and sing together?